Good morning.
Good morning.
Let us pray. O God of morning, noon, and night, thank you, Lord, for your presence among us here today. Please let your Holy Spirit hover on top of all of us, Lord, sinking into our very being and to our soul, welcoming those who are with us for the very first time, Lord. Welcoming back the people who have been away due to illness. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, in the book of Galatians, we learn about the great divide between the Jew and the Gentile, a division that threatened the early Christian community. A division that seemed as wide as the Red Sea. Just as the racial divide of last century and the division of sexual orientation threatens the churches of today. Now, why were the Jews feeling threatened by the new Christian, the people who want to be the new believers? And it's because everything they had been taught to believe was being questioned and overturned. The laws that the Jews aspired to live by were given to them by God through Moses, and this law affirmed that they were the chosen people. So to say that the Gentiles didn't need to follow these laws in order to be early Christians undermined all that the Jews knew of themselves, their creation, their history, and their way of salvation. Now, isn't this similar to the way our churches and religions of today hold tightly to their doctrines, their rules, and the way it's always been done? And they feel threatened by anyone or any movement that threatens to break down the barriers of exclusivity. And as a devout Jew, the Apostle Paul, who wrote Galatians, he worked to uphold the law so much that before his conversion, he went out to purposely persecute all of the new believers. But it was only after his conversion and baptism that Paul realized that God's grace and forgiveness could be extended to everyone who believed. It was Paul's belief that we are joined in God's family once we are baptized. In baptism, we empty ourselves of who we used to be and what used to be so very important to us, so we can become equal to our fellow believers and join God's family. Those transformed by God no longer need to live by the law. They now live in faith. Now, one of the most quoted scriptures is Galatians 3:28. It has always meant something to people who have been persecuted and marginalized. This translation that I'm going to read is taken from the Worldwide English New Testament. There is no longer any difference between a Jew and one who is not a Jew, between a slave and a free person, between a man and a woman. When you are in the body of Christ Jesus, you are all alike. Now, we like that scripture, don't we? Well, most of us do. It tells us that we are all equal in God's eyes. There is no longer the need to think highly of ourselves, to think we are better than someone else, because we have more money, or because of where we might live. Now, think about that scripture again. It's important to realize that Paul didn't say we are all the same, that we all become little cookie cutters of each other, or even that we need to be. No, what he is saying is that we, as people that are different in social status, race, gender, culture, or orientation, all worship the same God. Now, Professor Brian Blount believes that this scripture can be seen as an early emancipation proclamation, bringing an end to sexism and discrimination of any kind. As he wrote in his book, Then the Whisper Put on Flesh, doing so breaks down the institutionalized barriers that culture, politics, and religion have erected between them. Why haven't we learned? Aren't there people among us who work hard every day just to survive? Who are denied human rights and freedom so governments and industry can succeed? Those who die of diseases caused by working in unsafe conditions, breathing polluted air, and drinking contaminated water. And you know what? These don't just happen in third world nations. Think back quite a few years ago when Julia Roberts, she starred in that movie about Aaron Brockovich. Aaron, who was working as a law clerk, successfully sued the Pacific Gas and Electric Company for poisoning the people of Hinckley, California. They deliberately polluted the water by putting toxic chromium-6 into the water that all the people had to drink, causing cancers and deaths for many years. Now, Aaron's story started 19 years ago, but she didn't stop with that one victory. She is still continuing to work on our behalf for environmental concerns. Now, you might wonder, why did she choose the title of A Slave No More for her sermon? After all, doesn't the word slave conjure up pictures of cruelty and the ownership of another person? When you read through the Bible, we experience the abuse of a dominated person when Abraham impregnated the slave girl Hagar, and then later sent her and her son out into the wilderness to die. We then experience more abuse when the Egyptians enslaved the Israelites and forced them into backbreaking labor. Then there was also slavery in the New Testament, where not only the Jews, but also many other people were enslaved by the Romans. The slaves had no rights. They could be beaten, raped, or killed by their owners, and all were forced to pay oppressive taxes to Caesar. And we certainly experienced the horrors and the effects of slavery in our own country. But I want you to think of another way of looking at the word slave. It can also mean being a slave to our own desires. We can be slaves in our desire for power, for money, for sex, social media, food, alcohol, drugs, gambling, smoking, entertainment, the need to constantly work out, and for material things. Desire is part of who we are. It's part of our personality. Desire can be good. It can motivate us to reach a goal and to do good things. Or desire can overtake our lives. To what extent do you live your life the way you want to live it versus the way God wants us to live our lives? Or do you want to continue to clothe yourself with the words you might have heard as a young child or maybe throughout your life? You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're too fat. You're too skinny. You're too tall. You're too short. You're too gay. You're too butch. Too assertive. Too timid. The list can go on and on and on. You see, to continue wearing these clothes instead of casting them off and saying, I refuse to be a slave to what I've been told. I'm no longer that person who doesn't believe in myself. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Are we negating the promise that God gave us through Jesus? Do we still act as slaves today? All of us. Racing like the hamster on his little wheel, trying to get ahead, trying so hard to stay on top of that wheel, so we can collect what we think are the symbols of our success. We race on that treadmill, and we reach out to grab our own personal piece of the pie, don't we? Reaching and grabbing, and then stepping over people on our way to the top. Now let's change the metaphors. Let's no longer think about a hamster and a treadmill, but let's think about a roller coaster. You can feel great when you're on the top. And I want you all to say it with me. What happens when you're on the top of that roller coaster? Do you put your hands up in the air? Put them up, put them up. And then what do you say? Whee! We feel great when we're at the top of that coaster. We feel like we have it all. But we forget that once we hit the top of that crest, we begin a free fall. And when that happens, life no longer seems like we have it all. When there is somebody else stepping on our heels so that they can get ahead. When we begin to question, just why are we working so hard for what the advertisers and the media tell us we need? When we realize that a garment worker in Bangladesh died making the shirt we just bought, when we have another dozen in our closet. When we realize that the athletic shoes on our feet were made by child labor. Or when we realize that someone was forcefully taken away from their home and their family so they could go deep into the mines to harvest precious gems for our jewelry. When we realize that a well-paid businessman isn't just paying someone for sex, because that sex worker may have been forced into this work by human traffickers. When we realize that it's not just people being raped, but also the soil, the water, and the very air that we breathe, just so we can produce the products of consumption. So I ask again, when will it all end? When will we all believe and join together to bring true equality to everyone? When we begin to live out the words of Galatians 3:28. I'm now going to read this scripture from the translation, the New Revised Standard Version. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. The words are a little different, aren't they? But isn't the meaning the same? The book of Galatians deals with issues of religion and social boundaries within the early church. There was a lot of dissension about who could be a true believer and what, if anything, you had to do to join the church. Just as today, we are dealing with eliminating religious and social boundaries so inclusion is being realized and not exclusion. The slavery that Paul was liberating the Gentiles from was the need to adopt another ethnicity in order to be part of the church. And I just wonder how many people today need to be liberated from the idea that they need to be white, straight, able-bodied, or of a certain age or gender in order to be accepted by society and the church. Now, Brad Braxton wrote in a commentary on Galatians, "Frequently, marginalized groups, whether they are ethnic minorities, women, economically disadvantaged persons, or gay and lesbian persons, and I'm adding this myself, or if they are transgendered or gendered nonconforming persons, are embraced by certain dominant groups only later to be rejected by those dominant groups in crisis moments. You see, so often political parties, governments, prominent people, religious and social groups make promises of acceptance and economic support, only later to wash their hands of these marginalized people once those parties have received the vote and support for their products that they wanted all along. You see, these groups aren't willing to sacrifice their privilege and power for the sake of someone who is marginalized. Do we live in the land of the free, or do we continue to live in the land of, I'll promise you anything to get your money, your support, and your vote, and then forget my promises? Is it time to truly take the message of Galatians 3, verse 28, to heart and to work and advocate for true equality and respect for all people? It won't be easy. We might have to buy lab-created stones instead of those mined by forced labor. We might have to research the product of the companies we buy from before making a purchase. We might have to join with the MCC task force to eradicate human trafficking of any kind. We might also have to do away with our need for power and control. But it'll be worth it, don't you think? You see, that's the good news. We don't have to allow prejudice, inequality, and greed to rule us. We can choose to say no and then work to bring about much needed change. It is our choice and our right to do so in this land of opportunity and freedom. Let us pray. Oh God, you have blessed us with great abundance, not only in material goods, but also with the ability to reach out and help one another. You have put a piece of yourself within each one of us. Please help us to take the light within us, growing and kindling that light into a fire of determination to love one another, to respect one another, and to speak out on behalf of those being mistreated, forgotten, or enslaved in any way. Please walk with us on our journey to live as you would want us to live. Open our ears and our hearts so we will know where the Holy Spirit is leading us. We ask this in your many and glorious names. Amen.